call. Hello? Hello? I hope she was saying nice things, or she was just saying, look at this guy sitting up here, what a chump. Yeah, thank you. Cool. Hello. So some of you were in the earlier session, like the session that was just now, and I said, who doesn't know how to build a game, because that's happening in a sec, and they were like, oh, shoot, yeah, they're running off. And then, yeah, these two guys here, the culprits. Cool. I can't speak Italian, unfortunately, so I'll try and talk slower, if that's okay. There's some nods. People are still waking up. Okay, cool. That's typical game dev culture, I guess. Yeah. Awesome. So before I start, I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions and be very nosy. So who knows what Unity is? You can be honest, seriously. Okay, put your hands up if you don't know what Unity is and you just saw a whole bunch of people walk into Microsoft and think this is awesome. They're giving out Xbox Ones, which I'll be claiming later, right? No comment. Right, okay, cool. So who's a programmer? You've written script before, written code before. You don't like artists or designers. Okay, who's an artist? 2D, 3D art? You're a bit of a perfectionist. Okay, cool. What about audio? Okay, awesome, no worries. Who's never made a game before? Be honest, it's cool. Okay, cool. Who's from Milan? Okay, cool. Do we have any Americans? Okay, so I'll try and go extra slow for you. No, I'm kidding. I'm from America, so I can say that joke. It's all right. But I'm from Florida, so that's, you know, the worst place in America. Sweet. So yeah, so basically what I'm going to do from now until lunch, and then after lunch, and basically these three sessions until 6 o'clock, is go through the whole process of starting from scratch and building a whole game up, which then build to a device, build to Windows 8, and if I had an Xbox One dev kit, build to Xbox One. So basically, within a day, building a game, well, a very loose game, I'm gonna go through everything, code, animation, scripting. By the end of the day, you'll be talked at by me, and you'll hopefully be able to go home and then make a game. I'll talk very slow. I'll try to talk very slow. My mom says I have verbal diarrhea, so yeah. Yeah, cool. If you have any questions at any point, just put your hand up or shout at me or say something really rude or in Italian, I don't know. Just do that. You know, I'm gonna keep it very loose and very sort of relaxed and we'll have fun and hopefully it'll be all right. And hopefully you won't be like, who's this like kid who looks like 15, you know, talking about games and stuff. Awesome. So, okay, yeah. So my name is Andy Touch. I'm one of the two product evangelists for Unity in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So that basically means I have about 3 hours of sleep a night. I carry about 100 devices around in rucksack, and basically I'll come to events and come to developers and talk about Unity, talk about making games, show how to make games, basically video games. So when my mum said stop playing Mario Kart, all you do is play Mario Kart, it's paid off in the end. So yeah, I have Twitter like everyone does, and I'd sort of moan about the weather in the UK, which is obviously why I sound like Austin Powers. I have an email as well. So one thing, as well as making games, I like playing games as well, and I can expense it because it's part of my job, which is super cool. So if you guys have some games you're either making or you've released, just find me at some point today, even if I'm, you know, stuffing my face at lunch with pasta or whatever. Basically, just find me. I love playing games. Helping you guys make the best games you could possibly make. And I'll tell lots of British jokes today, so I'll warn you very early. But British jokes are the best jokes. So yeah. See, you're all laughing already. So yeah, cool. Sweet. So I'm gonna go, for those of you who don't know what Unity is, or those of you that do, I'm gonna go through a very, very quick sort of introduction to Unity. Very, very quick about the company, sort of about games made in it. Some of this stuff you already know and you'll kind of be sucking eggs, but yeah. That's a terrible saying. I won't use it again. So at Unity, we do a whole bunch of stuff. So basically, we make a game engine. So that's free game engine, but there's also a paid version where people can make their games in. This is used by like bedroom hobbyists who basically want to create a game and then, you know, put it to the store, to big teams like Activision, EA, Blizzard, and people like that. Game publishing as well. So we also publish some games. So we help people how to take their games, put them to many platforms. Support packages, so we basically you'll be able to submit your game to us and we'll help you out and things like that. Training consultancy, so we run training days. We also have a cloud service coming out. So that'll be like in-app purchases and ads and AP, whole stuff like that. And our favorite thing is our community. So we like our community because they're very vibrant, diverse, and active. And they also like breaking our engine as much as possible. They like doing things they probably shouldn't be allowed to do and be very naughty with the engine and sort of break it and build upon it. But that's fine, we enjoy that. And they're quite entertaining too when they tell us that they've done things that we're like, how the hell did you do that? In terms of the company, we're incredibly small. We only have like 360-ish employees. I think I'm actually the youngest employee in the company, which is pretty cool. We have about 17 offices, 2.3 million. I think that's actually like 2.6 now. I don't know, it keeps changing. 200-ish million web player installs, and we have an active community. Our community does a lot of things, as well as breaking your engine. They also populate our forums. So basically they go on, they say, here is this game I'm making. Does anyone want to help me out? Or here is this thing I'm doing. Does anyone want to help me out here? Unity answers, where basically you can pose questions such as, my script does not work. Why does it not work? And you have members of our community, plus also people from Unity answering questions. So rather than having, you know, this big company sitting up in their ivy tower and then all the developers here, we basically like to sort of be very transparent and flat. So you could probably, as opposed to emailing our support at Unity email address, probably just go on Twitter and ask our actual developers questions about graphics programming, and they'll just respond to you straight away, or they'll automatically respond anyway. So we're a very flat company. Our CEO likes adding people on Facebook a lot, so yeah. We also have user groups where people will meet up and then they show off their games and they all get drunk afterwards, which people tend to like. We have Google Plus Hangouts, so basically we'll have our developers, tools engineers, all sorts of people from the community basically in Google Plus Hangouts. You can ask some questions, come in, chat with them, talk on webcam, things that runs frequently. We also have free live training from a guy called Mike in America, and yeah. Cool. Yeah, so we have free live training. So basically you chew in and he goes through 40 minutes. Let's make a simple particle effect that will basically explode lots of pieces into lots of other pieces. You can follow along with him and basically learn from him. We have the asset store as well, which I'll talk about in a sec. So the asset store is a bit mad. So basically you can sell and buy assets from it. So this allows you to, if you're a 3D modeler, but you don't know how to write any code, you can make a 3D model of a car, sell it on the asset store, and then actually make money from that. And some of the people that have earned the most money of actually using Unity is basically through the asset store. It's completely community driven. We do upload some of our own content, but they look a bit crud compared to what our developers make, which is quite mind blowing. And we've actually hired people from the asset store. So we've actually hired the guys who made the 2D tools, which I'm gonna sort of demo today. Well, people who made 2D plugins on the asset store, and we approached them and said, hey, you know, you guys are amazing. Do you want to come join Unity? So basically, we actually hire quite a few people from there. There's a 15-year-old kid called Forrest, and he basically makes art for the asset store, which is like Skyrim quality art. And we tried hiring him to do some 3D work. Like, he's 15, right? Tried to hire him to do some work, and he said, no, because you couldn't pay me more than how much your asset store is making me. And we were like, how much is it making you? He's like, oh, about, I don't know, 60 grand a year, and he's 15, and we were like, okay, yeah, so yeah, he's actually chooses to use our asset store as opposed to working for Unity because he gets paid more money. He's 15, he's hustling already, so yeah. Michael Lushenko, who makes a plugin called NGUI, which is basically a much better GUI solution system, and you make UI and like heads up displays and stuff in games. He sells his NGUI plugin on there, and he made, I think in the last 2 years, he made 950 grand, I think. And yeah, that's just by selling a plugin on the asset store. And now he drives a really nice car, and I hate him. Yeah, he drives a really nice car, but he's really cool because he actually goes on the forums for his plugin, and he's still like, you know, really chatty with his community. And yeah, you can get hired by Unity Technologies, or you could turn his down like Forrest does. Yeah, we'll get him one day. He's 15, when he hits puberty. Cool. So one thing that we love is author wants deploy everywhere. So at Unity, we have two phrases. We have democratized game development, which sounds incredibly kind of, I know, very ambitious. Basically, what we want to do is we want to basically make game development tools which anyone can use. So we have like the free version of Unity, which people can then download, release games on tons of different platforms, mobile, things like that. One of our goals is to democratize game development, which is pretty ambitious. The other one is Author wants to deploy everywhere. So what we want to do is we want to basically make a middleware which people can use, and then they can basically publish their content to multiple platforms. So I think we're currently supporting 27, 28 platforms. So you could take your game and build it to 28 different platforms potentially. About half of those are very strange Japanese mobile companies, but if you can get those devices, then yeah, that would be cool. So what you can do is you can build a game and you can release it on multiple things. So for example, this game that I make today, if I had an Xbox One dev kit, I could build it to this Windows phone, Windows 8, and then the Xbox One dev kit using exactly the same game across all three. I could, you know, I could do that. I don't have an Xbox One dev kit yet. So I'm going to cross my fingers. So I'm just going to do to 2 out of 3. So yeah, not that many, but that's cool. So what do we support? We have a web player, standalone applications, Facebook SDK, Steam gaming portals. Soon we'll be able to export to WebGL. So currently when you export to web, basically you'll need to users will need to download a plugin. Now, if you have kids, you're probably not going to want them saying, oh, download Unity onto your machine, and they'll think it's a virus. So whenever I email my mum, she thinks it's a virus, even though I'm emailing her. It's not something I would do. But soon you'll be able to export from Unity's WebGL, so you could run a game like that, which was actually running at our demo at our booth at GDC, with no plugin at all. So people will be able to go to the webpage, won't have to download a Unity plugin, and they could play a game like that. So an actual game, not just a camera fly-through of a static scene. So yeah, you'll be able to do stuff like that, which is pretty amazing. Mobile platforms. So we support a whole bunch. We'll be supporting many more as they come out. Still support BlackBerry. Okay. Console build platforms, so Xbox 360, Xbox One, PS3, mobile, Vita, PS4, Wii U, Ouya. If anyone here has an Ouya. Some people, it's a good paperweight, right? Yeah, cool. Yeah, so basically we support console build platforms. Peripherals, so yeah, the Oculus Rift, which is pretty amazing. The Leap Motion, Razer Hydra, Arduino, many more. Basically, people like to take Unity and export it to many things. So I made a simple walk-around demo of like a house, and I gave it to some architects who are in business suits, and they're like, oh, who's this 15-year-old chump kid here? I'm not 15, but I look 15. But they're like, who's this chump kid here? Put an Oculus on their heads. And it's quite funny to see guys in suits with this headset on their head going, wow, and quite amazed. So they completely broke their composure. But yes. So yeah, Arduino here. So basically, Raspberry Pi. So I could have a light sensor from here, detect what the light is like in here, and replicate it within the game if I wanted to. So yeah, Oculus Rift, support loads of things. Sweet. So I'm going to talk about a couple of games. Bad Piggies was made in Unity, which is pretty nice. They basically hacked our engine and made it 2D before we released 2D tools, which is nicer for OVO. LEGO Star Wars Yoda Chronicles, which is made by ex-console developers, and they chose Unity to basically build like this game, which runs on like a really low-end iPhone 4, which I have, and it has about 3 hours battery life. Impossible Road was made by one guy on the free version of Unity. He sold it, and he basically sold an absolute ton of copies, and you basically just roll the ball down this hill, and you have to get to the end. He made this and his weekends, released it, and he's made a ton of money. And that was all for free, which is cool. Kerbal Space Program. So has anyone here played this? Or, yeah, awesome. So we're probably going to talk about this later on, right? Yeah, he's nodding sheepishly, right? So basically, you can build your rocket. And what the Kerbal Space Program guys done is they've basically rendered an entire galaxy all within Unity. You can zoom right into these little, like, guys inside the cockpit and then zoom right out and view the whole galaxy. It's an amazing game, and they're actually working with NASA now, which is quite cool. I used to live with a guy who basically tried to learn rocket science to play this game, but his ship just ended up looking like that, falling over half the time. It was a bit rubbish. Rust, so basically it sold more copies than DayZ, I think. That's made in Unity by the Garry's Mod guys, which is pretty cool. Castle Story. So with Castle Story, every single individual block is basically has physics onto it. So you can place dynamite in the middle of this castle, and every single block will just like explode and sort of tumble down with each other. And that's made by like three guys, four guys. So I like showing the screenshots to people who don't know what this game is. So put your hands up if you don't know what Surgeon Simulator is. You can be completely honest. Okay, so this is made by four guys in 48 hours. And basically, they made a game where you perform heart surgery, one of the most difficult things you can do, using fire extinguishers and stuff. So they basically made the free version in 48 hours, released it, and they had millions and millions and millions of downloads. So then they made a proper one in 48 days, released it on Steam, and they sold just as many copies as the free version, but at like £10 per copy, £6 per copy. And they won a BAFTA for it as well, for a simulation. It's probably the worst simulation ever, as you can see. Your watch tends to get stuck in where the heart is, which, yeah, they were quite shocked that they were up for a simulation. Kentucky Route Zero, so basically using 2D art, and makes a very beautiful game. Supernauts, so this is made in Finland, so basically you can go to other people's worlds and basically place blocks and build up all these different sort of environments. I left a very sort of obscene building in my brother's village, which he wasn't very happy about. I knew it would wind him up. The Room, so yeah, you can basically pick apart these puzzles, grab different cogs, twist them around. That's on mobile, on like an iPhone, I think, so that's pretty amazing. Teslagrad, so basically these guys are from Norway, and they're aiming to release this game on as many Unity platforms as possible, and I think they've got 11 or 12 down, including all like Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS4, and so on and so forth. So that's pretty amazing, and it's very sort of like artistic 2D game. Oh yeah, and NASA. So basically NASA used it to render Mars. So when they sent the rover up, they basically got all the height map data and basically drew out Mars. So you can actually go onto this webpage and drive around Mars with a little rover, which is pretty cool. And I'd like to show this one because our community does make some very interesting things. The Legend of the Washer Knight. So this guy made a top-down sort of like Baldur's Gate, slay some orcs, you're a knight type game. But no one was really interested in it because it had been done 100 times before. So he swapped out the knight for a washing machine, and suddenly everyone's interested in this game. And he was able to do that on Unity because he could just swap out the model. Other people have made a school cheating game. So what you do is you sit on your desk, you get asked a really hard question like, what is hello in Italian or something like that? Well, that's a hard question for me. And what you do is you look down at your desk with the Oculus Rift and you have to peer over at your peers' sort of like papers and cheat. And everyone's a dolphin as well. So if you get caught, they start like shrieking at you. So I made a cat simulator. So you walk around as a cat pushing things off shelves, which my cat does all the time. So basically people make all sorts of wonderful and wacky things with Unity, which is quite amazing. They do lots of very impressive stuff. So now that I've shown you some games, I'm going to make a very simple one within the time that I have. So let's go. If at any point I talk too fast, or you want me to explain something, just shout out, because I'll probably be looking down or looking up. I'll try and sort of keep an eye out. But it is still very, I mean, even though it's 11:29, it's still very early for me. I'm sure it's early for you guys as well. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remake this game, a really simple game. Basically, I have a little spaceship. I can move left and right, and I can fire some rockets, and there's audio, I think. Okay, maybe not. So basically, what I can do is I can fire the same rocket, the rockets have animations on, I have explosion effects, all the sort of asteroids are falling down, I've got 3D object in the background. I've got my rocket, my sort of spaceship at the bottom, which is pink, right, which is very telling. Basically, really simple game, but what it's going to do is it's going to use lots of different things that you can use to build up a game. And it's going to combine both 2D and 3D things. So I'm going to say, okay, that's very nice. I'm going to make a completely brand new project and start from scratch. So let's do that. Cool. By the way, does anyone have any questions so far? Or everyone's like either waking up or like, wow, all those games looked awesome. I'm now downloading them, right? Or people just want to go home and play Titanfall. Yeah, I still haven't played that. I can't believe it. People in the office are upset with me. Cool. So I'm going to call this game Astro Blast. So when I create a brand new project in Unity, what it does is it will bring up this window. So with here, we have our project location, which is fairly standard. Underneath here, we have packages. So with packages, what these are is they're pre-made assets that you can import into your project to basically make your life easier or basically play around with some things. So if I import in particles, that will basically bring in some particles such as explosions, water splashes, snow, things like that. And you can basically take these, you can tweak them and edit them and basically play around with them to see how they look. We also have some things like projectors, some scripts, some skyboxes. We've got all sorts of other things. You can use these in your projects completely. They're completely royalty free. So we at Unity, we'd sort of never hound you down, kick your door in, and ask for some royalties. Basically, you can use, you know, all these particles. We've used some particles that I've made. When you sell 10 million copies and you have a lot in the bank, I do like Ferraris. Yeah, my PayPal is always open as well if you use any of my assets, of course. None of you remember that though, right? And then I'll see 100 Asteroid Games all selling a ton of money on the store. The next thing here is set up for defaults. So I don't really like this drop-down panel, but and I'll tell you why. Because at Unity, we don't like to pigeonhole people. We don't like to say, you must either make a hyper-realistic first-person shooter where when you get hit, jam flies in your face and there's like cinematic cutscenes and stuff like that. Or you must make a hyper-realistic car racing simulator or a physics game like Cut the Rope or something like that. We don't like to do that. We like to keep things very open, so you can basically make whatever you want to make. And with the 3D and 2D tools in Unity, they're very flexible in a way that you can make a 2D game, and then you can add 3D objects into your 2D game. Or you can make a 3D or 2D game. No, hang on. You can make a 3D game, add 2D objects. Make a 2D game, add 3D objects. Or you could just do one or the other. You can keep things very loose and very sort of like very open. So I'm going to say, for example, a 2D game. So I'm going to make a 2D project. And then what I'm going to do is in it, I'm going to use some 3D objects and sort of bring in sort of a 3D sphere. So I'm going to create that. Yeah, why not? So what that'll do is it'll basically close down Unity and it'll open up a brand new editor window. This is a ridiculously big screen as well. Eventually. And eventually you'll be done. Lovely stuff. Sweet. So yeah, we have Unity open. I'm going to use a 2x3 layout. So what we have here is we have Unity at its absolute most basic. So I'm going to go through this whole day and build up the game bit by bit. No trickery. I've just done a file new project thing. I'm not going to import any pre-made projects. I'm going to import the art because I'm not going to draw art in front of you because I suck at drawing art. But yeah. Cool. So with Unity, we have a series of windows which basically all link into one another. So we've got the scene view up here. So this scene view is kind of like, if you play The Sims, it's kind of like the world builder. So you basically select your objects, you position them around within the scene. You basically place where your enemies are going to be, where your health pack's going to be, where your level ends, where it begins. In holding Alt, you can basically rotate around the scene as well. You can place objects and things like that. And this is where I'm going to do all the main construction. It's kind of like your canvas, and you put paint on it, and you sort of mix it round, and then you have something at the other end. So your scene viewer is basically where you build up your game. This bottom left-hand one here, the game, with the little Pac-Man icon, that's basically what your player's going to see. So if you think of Half-Life 2, which is probably my favorite game, basically with your scene view here, you'll see a top-down view of Ravenholm, and you see where all the zombies are going to appear, and this is when no one here has played Half-Life 2, right? Okay, a couple of people. We'll talk about that later on, but yeah. So basically, this will be where you place all your sort of zombies, you place where your Gordon Freeman is, you place where all your terrain and things are. The game view is what the player's going to see in the end. So the player's not going to see the top-down view, it's going to see what you want them to see. So in this game view, you'll basically see from the first-person view, little gun in the corner, health bar, ammunition, things like that. So the game view is kind of going to replicate what your player sees in the end. The hierarchy here in the middle, basically, that's kind of like a drop-down list of everything within our scene. So if I go and add in a cube, for example, well, notice the hierarchy's added that cube onto there, which you can not quite see. So as I add in more objects, so if I have like 100 trees, it'll basically show 100 trees in this sort of hierarchy. It's basically just a drop-down shopping list of all the different things within our project, or within our scene here. So it's pretty useful for basically selecting a different thing. This window here is my projects folder. So my project folder, if put your hands up if you use Flash or After Effects. Okay, keep your hands up if you still use Flash. Yeah, that'll change. it's all right. So basically with this project folder here, basically this is like your library. This is where you bring your audio, your art, your 3D models, your in-app purchase thing, your ads. Basically, it's kind of like your library of all the things you're going to use. So if you think about it, this is your canvas where you're going to paint onto. These are the paints currently on your canvas. This is basically all your sort of like little paint pots that you're going to mix all these colors and add. And the inspector here is what is basically the description of what your what's in your scene. So if I select my camera, for example, you'll notice it's selected it with my scene. I can have a look at it, which is nice. And what you'll notice on the right hand here is we have an inspector basically saying everything about our camera. So our camera has a position, a rotation, and a scale. It's also got things about the camera. So for example, I can set the background color of my camera to be like red, or I can set it to be green and things like that. Basically, it's building up a description of that particular object. So when I have a rocket later on, it'll basically have the rocket, that it's got physics, that it looks like this, that it has an animation on it, that it has a script on it. Basically, it's building up all the different things about that particular object. Awesome. Cool. So I've got a very boring scene. If I click the play button at the top, this basically allows us to play the game in the editor. So you don't have to click like Alt Enter or Control Enter or build it each time. You can test it all within the editor and pause it anytime to see what happens. So for example, if I select Maximize on Play and play my game, we have a very boring wallpaper with a lot of overhead if I use that. So what you can see is I can then sort of stop that. What I could also do is I can then play my game. So I can play it in that little window down the bottom left-hand corner here. And you'll notice that the whole editor tints as well. So I can play my game in the corner, which is that's currently playing. I can then actually select my cube. And if I do things to my cube, so I rotate it and do things like that, you can actually see all the properties sort of changing there. So you can actually see, whilst in game mode, all your different properties updating and sort of seeing what happens. You have to sort of re-export each time, guess what the bug was, and then go back. You can also pause it mid-game. So if I actually take my cube and add some physics to it, I'll talk about this in a bit. What I can do is I can play my game. Goodbye. And then I can pause my game at any point, and then basically I can then say, oh, well, where's my cube and what's it doing? And then I can step through the frame, so I could say, go to the next frame, go to the next frame. See you later. So basically, I can now pause my game at any point, view what I'm doing in the game. So if you have a section where you walk around a corner and the enemy's on the roof upside down, and his skin is all, I know, completely green, for example, you can say, hang on a sec, pause the game, select the enemy, and then basically see, why is he upside down? Why is he green? You can kind of like see things actually running in the editor in real time, which is pretty fantastic. And it's really useful for finding those awful graphics bugs. Actually, they're pretty funny graphics bugs. They have lots of things. So now that my cube has physics, which I'll talk about adding in a bit, when I run my game, well, hey, I now have a GIF or a slightly less more interesting wallpaper. I'm not quite sure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of my cube, and I'm going to import some art. Cool, let's do that. Everyone okay with that so far? Everyone's still waking up. That's cool. Or they're all just blown away and they're like, pfft. No, everyone's really serious. Okay. I'll stop with the jokes, I promise. Cool. So when I go to my project folder, which here I have Asteroid Blast, inside here I have a couple of folders. I've got my assets folder, my library, my project settings, and my temp. So the temp folder just handles all the temporary things that are happening. So for example, edit mode, scene, Unity lock. You don't really want to play around with this folder too much. Project settings is all the background sort of bits and pieces happening. So it's like if you bought a car and you fine-tuned the car, it's kind of like doing that. So if I went in and I edited the physics in my game, so I said physics is now twice as fast, or no, twice as much power and things like that, or instead of going down, it goes to the right or left or up, basically I can go in and tweak these things and it will edit these things behind, you know, running behind the scenes. Don't delete anything from here because stuff will go wrong. The library is basically handling all the different things, so mono, scripting, building, things like that. Don't delete anything from here, things will go bad. The next one is assets, which is completely empty. I'm not worried about that because the assets folder is a direct link to this project folder. So this project folder here basically is whatever's in here, and it auto imports anything I save into this folder. So let's say I create a brand new folder. What am I going to call it? Wait, that's really boring. Okay. Pasta. You can tell what I had for dinner last night, right? Cool. So pasta. So now I've created that folder. When I go back into Unity, oh, look, a pasta folder's appeared. Cool. Basically, what that's done is it's basically mapped and imported exactly what I do in here. So if I create a new folder, another one, let's call this something a bit more accurate to what I want to call it. So in this case, scenes. Well, hey, a scenes folder as well. So what this project folder does is it allows you to save things into this asset folder. So I could save in an image, an audio clip, a 3D mesh, audio, I've probably already said that, anything really, and it'll basically automatically import it into Unity here. You don't have to go through any tricks, jumps, hoops, anything like that. You basically just import it all straight in there. So, for example, I can go to my workshop resources, in which case I've got a whole bunch of assets all pre-made. I can either take them into that asset folder, which is, you know, pretty nice, or I can just drag and drop them directly into my project folder here. Hang on. So Unity will now import all these assets. It's normal. Why did it do that? So it will basically take all these assets, import them in, all the textures, all the audio, basically all the assets I'm going to use for the whole day. Audio tends to take the longest. So I've got a sort of background clip there that loops. And it will all appear instantly in my project, ready to drag and drop into my scene and do some groovy stuff with. You see, when you do this, when I do this in my hotel room, it does it in like 5 seconds, but you do it in front of like, you know, 100 people or so, yeah, it always breaks and does things wrong. So yeah, sorry if I look like a bit of a tit. Cool. Let's get rid of the pasta folder. I don't have any pasta. Yes, delete pasta. Cool. So what that's done now is it's actually imported all the folders straight in. I can go through the folders and see what's in each of them. So in this case, I have a texture of Venus, which has sort of been rolled out like a pancake. I also have a couple of sprites. So I've got some asteroids. I've got a big space background. I've got explosions. I have a rocket. I have some spaceships. I have a scenes folder, which I made, which I'm not going to use just yet. I've got a font as well, so I've imported in a font, in this case Clavica. I've got two audio clips, and I have a whole series of app icons. So these are app icons such as, hang on, let me just make that bigger. So basically these are all app icons that I can use when I, you know, use as tiles when I build my app at the end of the day. So I've just imported all those things in there just by dragging and dropping them in. And what you'll notice is if I go to my desktop and go to Asteroid Blast, go to Assets, it's got all my folders here. So basically, I've just dragged and dropped everything in. It's all neat and tidy, all ready for me to use. So yeah, awesome. So let's see what I've got. I've got some audio here. Sorry. I secretly knew it. Now everyone's woken up and they're like, whoa, okay, yep, yep, all right, okay, take some notes. What's he doing? Oh, crumbs. Yeah, so I've got some audio here. I've got a little audio clip. And in selecting my my file in my project folder, basically I can preview what my audio is like. I don't have to then bring it into my game and then play it in my game and then say, oh, wrong one. Right, bring the other one in. Oh, wrong one. Bring the other one in. Oh, wrong one. I can actually import them all in here. It's like, I think Titanfall's got 35 gig of uncompressed audio, which is just, how? It's just 5 explosions, come on. No, the game is amazing, so yeah. I've also got another one. Right, I won't blow up your ears, don't worry. So basically I've got a little background audio track which plays through. I can set it to auto loop as well, and eventually it'll play again, which is nice. So I can basically preview my audio. I can do something annoying like this. Yeah, basically I can sort of play my audio and test it all out, which is great. Fonts. So if I downloaded a font from defont.com, as we all do, basically, I've now got a font in here of Clevica, so I can then use that on any point that I have text in my game. And Unity reads pretty much the majority of font files, so you don't have to sort of be worried about that too much. It also reads the majority of audio files. I actually can't think off the top of my head an audio file it doesn't read. Probably some really very strange, bizarre niche ones, which the audio guys are about to point out to me right now. Nah. Cool. Textures. So I've got my little map of Venus. I can put that onto a 3D texture, and I can place that onto an object. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to focus on 2D content, which is fairly new in Unity. So like I showed with Bad Piggies, basically what they did is they wanted to use Unity to make a Angry Birds type game, like a spin-off, but they didn't want to make a 3D one. And then they did in the end, so yeah. So basically, what they did is they basically tricked Unity and extended our engine to render 2D sprites. So they basically broke our engine to do this, which is pretty cool. So we hired a whole bunch of 2D devs to actually make native 2D tools that are free, and people can then just access from the get-go and make some 2D games, which is quite amazing. And this includes 2D physics, 2D colliders, basically a lot of 2D stuff. And you can mix and match the 2D and 3D together. So in importing these textures, because I set up my work environment to be 2D, it's automatically imported them as sprites. So if I select my spaceships, what you'll notice in the import settings on the right-hand side here is if I click the texture type, I can choose what my sprite, what my image is going to be imported as. So if I wanted to be a texture and map it onto like a cube, I could set it to be a texture and apply that. So that will basically say, this is now a texture, and if I add in a very simple cube, I can then go to my here, drag and drop it onto my cube, and then now I have my texture basically applied onto the cube, which is very nice. I mean, I guess that's quite useful. My game looks a bit rubbish. Look how much better my game actually looks now. Hang on. It's a bit more arty. It could go to the VNA, I guess. Yeah. I don't want to do that. I don't want to use this cube or use 3D objects. I want to use a 2D sprite. So I'm going to go to my texture. I'm going to say, don't be a texture anymore. I could set it to be a normal map, a GUI, a cursor, a reflection, a cookie, a light map. But I'm going to set it to be a sprite. So underneath that next option, I'll do it with a different one. So if I select my background of space, what you'll notice is it's a sprite and it's a single sprite. It basically says on this texture, there's only one sprite on there. It's just one big image. So what I can do now is I can take my background of space, drag it into my scene and let go. I now have a sprite within my game. It's as simple as that. It basically takes all the properties from my library and it instantly creates the object within my scene. It's just simple drag and drop, which is pretty nice. So what you'll notice here in the scene view is we have a little 2D icon. It's very, very small. So this was basically a toggle. So what I can do is whilst in 2D mode, I have my object, I can scale it and basically do all sorts of like really wacky things with it. You guys are very smart. You've probably mucked around in Paint before. Basically I can then scale it. I can do all sorts of things, not make it look like space at all. These are basically handles that are very similar to After Effects where you can grab the different points and do things with it. However, going into 3D mode, will basically allow me to then move it around within the 3D space. So I can position it, I can rotate it, I can do all sorts of wacky things. Basically, it allows me to customize my 2D sprites in both 3D and 2D, and similarly with 3D objects in 3D and 2D. So it's kind of like mixing these two things together, as opposed to saying it must be 2D or it must be 3D, which is something we didn't want to do. So what you'll notice is that if my sprite is in 3D mode, if I move it towards and away from the camera, which is basically what our player is going to see, it won't change size. So the camera is currently projecting, basically, a very long sort of corridor type cone. It's like an orthographic view. It's basically viewing all the objects completely flat with no reference of depth. So for example, this gentleman over here, I can tell that you're further away than this chap here, for example. That's because my eyes are perspective and not orthographic. Otherwise, it would look like you two are kind of like sitting next to each other, which you're not, obviously. But yeah, sorry to pick on you. It's for being late, but yeah. So with my camera here, basically, it's currently in orthographic mode. So if I select my camera, I can go to this project settings here, and I can actually change the things about it. So in this case, I could say, I want my background of my camera to be, I don't know, someone shout out a color. Any. What was that? Pink. I was showing these 2D tools in a rock bar in Finland. Right, don't ask, right? Okay, it's a Microsoft that organized it, right? And when I asked, oh, someone pick a color, some guy with tattoos, he had like denim cut off and he was muscly, just goes pink at the back. And I was like, you, my friend, you're a hero. I'm going to buy you a drink because you just beat all stereotypes and everything. You're a hero. So I'm going to go with pink and just blind you all. So what I can do is I can actually tweak properties about my camera and basically change them. So currently it's orthographic. I can change it to perspective. What perspective does is it's a bit more like our eyes. So what I can do is I can actually move my background space back and forth, and I can actually position things within the three sprites within the 3D space so they have some depth. So if you think of a game like, has anyone here played Limbo? Yeah? Okay, if you haven't, just leave now and go buy it, please. Or yeah, it's amazing. So with Limbo, it's basically got lots of different layers. It's got trees and forests and grass and things like that. And they all basically have a certain depth to it. So as in Limbo, as you sort of move along the game, so like you move the camera like so, basically all the things parallax against each other and there's actually some depth to it as opposed to Candy Crush where everything's just like flat. So you can set your camera to be perspective or orthographic and pink. Right, I'm going to set it to be orthographic because I'm making a 2D game. But I can always show you later on when I finish switching into perspective what it actually does when I have more content. Now, this, blame this gentleman here. This is not very fitting. I mean, my wallpaper is slightly more interesting. I'm going to make it a slightly paler pink, right? I don't want to blind people to walk away blind and then moan on Twitter about it. So, yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to select my background of space and I'm going to see what it's set up here. So when I've imported my sprite, so when I selected it and dragged it across, you'll notice that like my camera, it's got lots of descriptions. So these descriptions are, for example, the position, the rotation and scale. And you can tell that you can see that when I actually rotate it or when I actually resize it, basically it's going to be changing all of these different values. So you can actually see them sort of moving around. Also, it's got sprite renderer. So one thing I'm going to say, one word I'm going to say a lot today is overkill. And that's because with the 2D tools, we didn't want to overkill devices. So we could, our devs could have been incredibly lazy and just used our 3D mesh renderer for 2D objects, which is mental. Because basically, it's rendering 2D objects with a 3D mesh, right? That doesn't make any sense. Because you think of a game like Candy Crush, you've got about a billion things on the screen. It would kill any device, especially my iPhone 4, which is the worst device in the world right now. It probably has about an hour battery life left. I took it off charge 2 hours ago, so yeah. Whereas the Windows phone, 3 days, yeah. 100 times better. cool. So with the sprite renderer, basically, it's separate from the mesh renderer. The mesh renderer is 3D, and sprite renderer is basically rendering a 2D sprite. So what I can do here is I can see the lookup. So selecting the sprite in that slot, I can see what it's actually referencing. In this case, background space one. See the color. So I can basically go to here and I can set what color my sprite is. Now, it doesn't edit the actual sprite. It basically does like a multiply of that particular sprite color. So currently it's white. Someone shout out a color. Blue. So the one color that's not really going to show up that well. You troll. Cool. Okay, I'm going to pick something else. I'm going to pick yellow. So what that does is it basically goes from white and it kind of like multiplies it by that particular color. So I can set my sort of sky to be yellow. Actually, you seem very adamant it'd be blue. So it'd be blue now. Cool. Yeah, that's hurting my eyes and it's going to hurt my eyes all day. So sorry. Sweet. So what I can do is I can actually change the individual colors of every single one of these sprites. So if I take my background of space and I duplicated it, so I've got the same space background twice. Let's shrink this. Basically, what I can do is I can say, even though they're using exactly the same lookup of the sprite in the project folder, I can actually set them to be different color, have different multiplies. So someone pick a different color other than pink and blue. Green, cool. I like that these are all really simple colors. Someone said puce once. I was like, what the hell's puce? Like, I had to Google what it was and get the RGB value and put it in just to shut him up. He's probably here today and he's shaking his fist. Cool. So what I can do is, even though both of these are using exactly the same sprite, I can color these individually. And this basically makes artists and developers friends. So beforehand, they used to not like each other. The artists would spend too much time on the art, developers would spend too much time on the code, and then when these things mixed, basically they don't like each other. So for example, some people are, what? Some people are arguing that, or? No, they're nodding. Okay, cool. So what this means is that the designer can then say, I want a red car. Artist draws a red car. Developer then puts the car in, sets it all up and things like that, does the lighting. And then the designer says, oh no, I want it to be pink now, or puce, right? So now the artist has to go, make it puce, then set it up to, then they have to set the lighting. No, actually I want it to be green now. So then the artist then has to go make, right. And this is not a good thing on a Friday at like 4:30. So basically, with this, what you can do is you can make one car which is white and then basically just tweak the vertex colors of every single car. So that way you can import that one white car, the artist has drawn it, you can import it and you basically set all the same car's colors all up, which is super useful. So you could have the same car, same sprite, like 750,000 different colors if you really wanted to. Cool. So now that I've got these different sprites here, I can also multi-select them. So I can select one sprite, select another one, and basically what this allows me to do is it basically allows me to grab them all and basically scale them all proportionately. So rather than me selecting one, positioning it, resizing it, and then sort of resizing the other one, in selecting both of them, it does a wrapping box around the outside edge, so I can now actually sort of shift them around. And now our wallpaper looks like this. Yeah, so not quite ready for the V&A yet, but some hipster art museum. I'm from London, so yeah, hipster art museum. Cool. So we now have the same sprite multiple times. Has anyone got any questions so far? Go for it, my friend. I'm going to show that at the end. So you've kind of ruined the surprise. Well, okay, you're being really adamant about this now. So yeah, so basically, this is true. I mean, I've taken all my sprites, I've put them into fairly separate textures and imported them all in. Well, basically with Unity, what you can use is you can use a thing called a sprite packer, which is coming out in the next version of Unity, which will be soon. Soon. And what this will allow you to do is it allows you to take all your textures and sprites and when you build it, pack them all into one texture. So you could have 1,000 different textures all imported in of candy and backgrounds and Angry Birds and Flappy Birds and pipes and Nintendo pipes ripped off and things like that. And then basically when you build it on the end or you build it in the editor, basically you can pack all those things into one texture. So you've got one texture on the end. So it's kind of like an end packing system. So with these current sprites, what you can do is you can import them individually and slice them up. But in the end, you can then export them as one big sort of like end build thing. I was going to show that later on, but yeah, ruined. Cool. So now that I've got my scene here, I'm going to build up a bit more of it. So I've got my sort of background canvas here. Now, when I make my full screen game, what I want it to do is I want it to fill up the whole screen. So obviously, having my sort of background in the middle of the screen isn't going to do anything for me. So I could either write a script which automatically scales it to how big the screen is, or because I don't have time to do that, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to set the width scale to be 3 in the X and 3 in the Y, basically making the image absolutely huge. So when I go full screen for my game, I now have, I now have a full screen image. Obviously, that's cheating a little bit, but yeah. Sweet. So let's do another thing. I think it's 12:30 that we go for lunch. Is it 12:30 that we go for lunch? Or no? No lunch. No lunch. No, everyone's now going to go. Cool. I'll just keep going then. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to do some sprite slicing. And this is actually really, really fun. I just said sprite slicing is really fun, which is quite strange. So I have here a texture with a ton of spaceships and individual parts on it. Now, it's like you were saying earlier on, you basically say, why didn't you import them as one big texture? I've kind of done that here, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and I'm going to cut up each of the sprites individually, showing a really sort of simple system. So with here, I'm going to make sure my texture type is sprite. Sprite mode, I'm going to change it from single, so like background space is one single sprite, to multiple, and I'm going to select that. I'm then going to apply that and basically say all these sprites are now multiple. Like there's multiple sprites on this sprite sheet. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to click Sprite Editor as well. Hang on. Let me change this to points as well. Import that. So now when I open up my Sprite Editor, what this allows me to do is it allows me to, instead of just dragging and dropping my sprites straight in, I can bring them to here, cut them up individually, then drag and drop them in. It's kind of like a middleman to actually bring your sprites in, but it's really simple to, and easy to use. So with the sprite editor, it allows me to define what is an individual slice. So I can do this in a couple of ways. I could do this the incredibly manual and lame way. I can just drag out a sort of air slice, and that is a sprite. I can drag out a slice and say, that is a sprite. I can drag out a slice and say, that is a sprite. I can also sort of like select each of the edges and like resize them, which is nice. I can zoom in. Sorry, I blinded some people. I can also position them. Now, if I, for example, am focusing on this particular sprite here, and I drag out this area and I say, oh, clumsy me, what a wally. I've instantly, you know, shot over the edge. In selecting this slice, I can click the trim button in the bottom right-hand corner, which basically allows me it to then sort of cut it to that particular shape. So it's basically going to trim it as thin as possible, which is great. Now, the downside of this manual way is basically, it's, okay, you think about it, it's 4:45 on a Friday. The developer's thinking, oh, I just cracked on with a load of work. It's all awesome. The artist comes over with, I don't know, a sprite sheet with 400 images of New York buildings. And says, here you go, bring this back Monday morning. So then the sprite, the developer then goes, one, two, three, four, then moans about it on Twitter, updates his LinkedIn profile to say he's a sprite slicer, not a developer, sends more LinkedIn friend notifications to people who don't use it. Basically, they're going to slice up all the sprites individually, and then the developer, then the artist comes in and then draws 50 more buildings, and he's like, right, brilliant, okay. So 451, 400, basically, it's going to take him a long time. And you can see here that even though my sprite sheet isn't that complex, I've only got a couple of sprites on here, it's going to take me ages to slice them all up individually and manually. But what I can do is I can actually use some tools that the 2D devs made. And if they didn't make these tools, our community will go mad. And we don't like it when they go mad. So what I can do is in the top left-hand corner of the sprite editor, I can select it, and I have two options. These are two tools which I can use. These are kind of like auto-slicing. So I can either slice it automatically or slice it as a grid. So who can take a guess what these two things are? you win some brownie points or something. Pardon? Five brownie points, right? So basically, automatic is correct. So with selecting automatic and slicing it, it did it incredibly quick. But basically what it did is it went around each individual slice and it basically found what was a best fit. It basically found what had a transparent edge in this PNG. And you'll notice it's even cut up all these little individual ones down the bottom here as well, which is nice. So automatic does do that. If you have a sprite sheet like this, it goes slice, 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 and it basically slices these all up. Grid is a little bit different. So grid, I'm actually going to use later on, but I'll show you very quickly. It's kind of like making a flip book. So if you have a sprite-based animation, which is a series of frames, where basically it goes through this frame, then this frame, then this frame, this frame, which I'm going to do a bit later on, this is what you define here. So you could say each frame is 30 by 30. When you slice that up, it's going to go through and it's going to slice it up as 30 by 30, 30 by 30, 30 by 30, and it's going to cut it all those up. So this is kind of similar to, okay, I'm going to omit this, and this is bad. So basically, in my science school books, when I was in school, I used to draw a little stick man in the corner, like running and jumping. I didn't like science that much. So yeah, running, he was running, jumping, I don't know, cartwheels and stuff like that. And then you flip through it, it basically goes through each of the individual frames. This is the type of animation style that this would be useful for. And I am aware I just admitted that I defaced educational property. But hopefully my teachers aren't here. So yeah, that's cool. I'm sure you guys all did as well, but you're not going to admit it, are you? There's one or two people nodding, but we all know what you did, yeah. It might be an anvil falling, I don't know. So what you can do here is you can actually define a grid. I'm not going to do that for this one because an automatic makes more sense. I'm going to slice up that. And what I'm going to do here is I have all the individual sprites all sliced up and ready for use. Lovely. So what I can do now is I can commit these changes. So with the sprite editor, what this does is it basically allows you to slice things up and do some work in this canvas, and then almost like push those changes to Unity and say, this is what I want to have done. If I go into my, okay, let's go in here. What you'll notice here is I have, for my background space, I have a little drop-down arrow, and I have one big slice for my entire image because it's a single sprite. Underneath spaceships, what you'll notice is if I go into my spaceship sprite sheet, is there is no little drop-down arrow with individual slices. It's just one big texture at the moment. So what I can do is I can slice things up automatically, like so. So these are all individual slices. I can click apply. What that will do is when you go back into Unity, you can open up this little drop-down list, and now you have an individual slice for every single spaceship all ready to be used in your game, including all the little blasters as well, and those are all super blurry. So I could say, actually, I'm going to use this one. Cool. I'm going to use this one. I'm going to use this one. Basically, you can use this one sprite sheet, slice up all the individual parts, and drag and drop them in. So if you're doing like a scene, like you're making a game for Pacific Rim, where you have like all the monsters destroying New York, you could have all the individual buildings in New York in one sprite sheet, and then kind of like drag and drop them in and build up your scene. You could also go to your artist, and if your artist then, hang on, said, okay, I want to draw some more ships. They could draw some more ships. You can then just draw out that new area or reslice it, and it'll keep all the existing data. So they can just keep adding onto this texture whilst you're still developing with it. It doesn't have to reslice up all the sprites each time and again. So basically, it's kind of like you're adding and contributing to this sort of big canvas. Everyone okay with that so far? So click apply, you have all your sprites, and it's all groovy. Do I talk too fast? No. Not enough Italian? Okay, cool. Awesome. I think people are waking up now, so that's nice. I'm waking up now, so yeah, it'll get better. So what I don't like is a couple of things. One thing is they're all named horribly. They're all named spaceships underscore zero underscore one. It's just incrementally adding one. I used to be a teacher. Yeah, I know I look really young, but I used to be a teacher and mark student schoolwork. The amount of times I've seen untitled dot PNG, untitled.jpg, untitled.wav, untitled.mov. Probably about 80% of projects had untitled everything. And they'll say, why does it not work? I can't find my files. And I was like, no kidding. Like, everything's called untitled. No wonder it doesn't work. So if you're a student here, like, put your hands up if you're a student. Okay. Put your hands up if you're a teacher before I get in trouble. Okay, cool. So if you're a student, if you name your stuff accurately, you probably will get more marks, right? Simply because you're giving the teachers like life. I know I'm probably breaking lots of rules and stuff, but it's okay, I don't live in Milan, so I'll be out of here tomorrow. So yeah, cool. So basically, you want to name all your stuff accurately. So if I said to you guys, which one was the blue ship? Hang on. Which one was the blue ship? I'd have to navigate through 36 individual slices to find which one the blue ship is. So I'd have to go through. Oh, it's the second one. But you can see if you had 450 images, it would be a right nightmare to navigate through. So I'm going to sort that out. I'm going to name these individually. So I'm going to go into the sprite editor. And I'm going to pick a particular ship. So let's pick this white one here. So in selecting that ship, I now have a little dialogue in the bottom right-hand corner, which basically says things about the ship. So this says what its name is, what its position is on the sprite sheet, how big it is, if I should trim it or not. And I can say this is white spaceship. Lovely. I'm also going to pick a blaster for it. So I'm going to zoom in. What you'll notice is that with the sprite slice, automatic slicing, it's not like a silver bullet. If it doesn't recognize that there isn't no edge, if it recognizes there is no edge there, it will assume that's one big sprite. So for example, this doesn't have gaps. I've purposely taken out the individual gaps. So what it's done is it's noticed that as a whole image. That's a bit overkill for my ship. So I'm going to pick this one, and I'm going to call this White Blaster. I've made some changes. I'm going to click Apply. And what you'll notice now is, oh yeah, my sprite sheet is instantly updated. White Spaceship and White Blaster. How cool is that? So now what I can do is I can drag my spaceship onto my scene. I can drag my blaster onto my scene as well. And I can drag another blaster onto my scene as well. So now I have my spaceship and I have two blasters, all from the same sprite sheet, basically imported in within my scene. Oh, and they're super tiny as well. I'll worry about that in a bit. Cool. Has anyone got any questions about that? So sprite editor, slice things up, nice and easy and fun. And then you sort of do some stuff and then you click apply. Everyone's hungry, right? Sweet. So I think the schedule, I don't have the schedule, but I think it's like 2:30, there's lunch. Have I ruined the lunch? I think it's at 1:00, or it's at 1:00. Okay. You think? Okay, it's at 1:00. Okay, it's at 1:00 now. So what I'll probably do is, it's 1:00. Right, we have the official verdict. Sweet. So what I'll do now is I'll do one little thing, and then everyone can sort of take a little break, because I have spoken, someone else talked, and then someone else talked, and you can stretch your legs, have a little drink, whatever. Come back, we'll do another 30 minutes, I'll basically start writing some code and stuff, which a lot of you will probably be interested in. Make the ship move around and fly around, and then we go for lunch, and then we come back, and then make things blow up, the more interesting bit. Cool, so one last thing I'm gonna do before this sort of like mini break, is I'm going to child the blaster parts onto the ship. So one problem I have is when I move my game or when I tilt my device and things like that, what's gonna happen is my ship's gonna move left and right, and it's gonna move around my scene, but the blasters aren't gonna follow it. So what I can do is I can tell my blasters to be children of the spaceship, which is its parent, which sounds really weird. I was trying to explain this to my girlfriend, and she had no idea what I was on about. She was like, oh yeah, the blasters become the children. She's like, Your job is weird, yeah. She's like, I don't understand. So basically, what I can do is I can take my blasters, and just like I've got a folder structure here where I have little subfolders inside, is in my hierarchy, I can take my blasters, attach them onto my spaceship, so my spaceship is now effectively kind of like a folder to my little blasters. So now I've got my spaceship, And I've got my blasters, which are basically children of that spaceship. So if I take my blasters and position them accordingly, now, when I select my spaceship and I do something with it, so I position it round, rotate it, basically, I now have my blaster
spaceship
attached to my...
And their local position is determined based on where the spaceship is.
So I'm now, I can now sort of rescale it, I can resize it. In 3D, I can also take it and I can rotate it and do all sorts of like amazing things. So yeah, basically, I'm now building up my object, so it isn't as complicated. It isn't, you know, a series of individual objects all scripted to be, you know, attached to one another. Basically, within Unity, we're attaching all these objects on ourselves. And just before we go for this mini break, I'm going to recolor the spaceship whatever color you want, even pink if you really want to. So as this is a sprite, and like we've, you know, changed the color of the sky, if I select my spaceship, what you'll notice is that in its inspector properties, basically, I have the option to change its sprite renderer color. So someone pick a color. Or are we running out of colors? Red. So it's an evil spaceship now, right? So what I can do is I can actually change the spaceship color, and what you'll notice is that the blasters haven't changed. That's because I can set them independently. Or what I can do is I can set my spaceship back to white. I can select all my blasters. And as they all have sprite renderers, I can basically then sort of like set them all to be puce, red, pink, whatever it may be. So now I have a nice red spaceship, which will probably blow up at some point, maybe, along with the asteroids. So yeah, basically, yeah. So if we take like a little 5 minute, 10 minute sort of like break and then come back, and then I'll write some code and stuff like that. And so yeah, I've just gone through the beginning bit. You're having fun? Is everyone awake? Is everyone going to drink more coffee to be awake? Like, I am going to be in a second. Okay, cool. Yeah. So like, I don't know, what's the time? 17 past? I don't know, let's say 25 past, 26, 27 past, let's be exact. Right, yeah. Come back and then we'll carry on doing some game stuff. Grazie. Yeah. Sweet. So, where did we get? What did we do? What's happening? So we have a little spaceship. Yeah, our wallpaper is a bit better now. We've actually got multiple sprites on it. We've got a spaceship which has a different color of red. It's got children on it. Let's make it move and do things. So the first thing I need to do now is solve some graphics bugs. This graphics bug is simply the fact that Unity is, the sprites are fighting against each other. It doesn't look like it, but when I build my project on the end, they will kind of be in the same space, sort of like fighting against each other back and forth, which is not good at all. So basically, what I want to do is I want to say the background space layer, this one, is on a layer behind all my content. So in 2D games, you don't just have everything like in the same space. Like Candy Crush, you think you've got all the stuff in the background, then you've got like your UI, and then you've got like your candy, then you've got like the little cute faces, and then like the explosions. Basically, you have all these things stacked on top of each other, being told to render in a particular order. So in Unity, what you can do is under an each object as a sprite renderer, you can basically set a sorting layer. So this basically says which order this thing layers in. So what I can do is I can select my background of space, open up the sorting layer, and what you'll notice is basically I have one. That's no good. I now need to add some more sorting layers. So I'm going to click Add Sorting Layer, and here in this panel, I can then add some more. So I could add a sorting layer for pasta. I could add a sorting layer for, well, pizza. Whoa, okay, hang on. Milano? Oh, hang on. Okay. I won't make too much of an idiot of myself. Okay, I'll get rid of salami. It's not a popular choice. Pizza? What else?
Lasagna?
This, yeah, good, right? People are nodding. This is good. And it's not edible, but the Colosseum as well. But I can't spell, so yeah. Okay, but you get the drift. I can basically add multiple layers. So if I was making an Italian food game, I could have my default layer, I could have a layer with all my pasta being rendered on,
then layering my pizza rendered on, layer my lasagna rendered on, and then I've got a very nice sort of like tasty dinner. So basically what I can do is I can then add some separate layers and I can sell them to be separate things. So, sorry, I don't have any pasta, pizza, or lasagna. So I can make background space. So I can say this is my space background. And I can have another layer that is foreground, main game. Okay, let's eat the lasagna and get rid of that as well. So in here, I've set up my sorting layers for default, background space, and foreground main game. And this basically adds from back to front. So it basically says, the camera, render all the ones on default, then render all the ones on background space, then render all the ones on foreground main game. You can keep adding them and chopping and changing them here and there. So now that I've set this up, I can go back into my object, select my background of space, and I can change it from sorting layer of default to background space. So this is now rendered on background space. So it's going default, background space, foreground. If I select my spaceship, my blasters, these are now completely disappeared. They're still in my game, but basically they're being rendered first because they're on the default layer. So it, what Unity's render is saying is render the spaceship and its blasters on the default layer, then the background layer, then the foreground layer, which there's nothing on it yet. So I'm going to take my spaceship and I'm going to stick it on the foreground main game layer. So now no problems should happen. Basically, it's going to render my background, then it's going to render my white spaceship layer. So we have individual layers, which is fantastic. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to position my spaceship sort of near the bottom of the screen. Because what it's going to end up doing is basically when I play my game, spaceship's going to appear at the bottom. It's going to move left and right as I push arrow keys or if I tilt my device. And then there's going to be some asteroids which I'm going to basically fire rockets at and explode. So I'm going to position it like that. Sweet. So what I'm going to do now is add some physics, some script, and then at 1 o'clock we all run off for lunch and eat pizza, pasta, and lasagna. I'll stop saying that joke. It's going to get like very boring very quickly. Some of you are thinking, oh, that cheeky Brit. Yeah, he's causing hassle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a brand new scripts folder. So I'm going to go create folder scripts. So I'm going to make a brand new folder. I like keeping things neat and tidy. So students, yep, basically make stuff tidy. Your teachers will love you. And I'm going to create a brand new script. So in Unity, you can write several different types of scripts. There's JavaScript, C Sharp, Boo, Shader, or Compute Shader. I'm not going to bother with these two. Boo, I think I know two Boo developers, and they both work at Unity. JavaScript gives you really, really bad habits. It basically it makes you declare like variables without saying what they are and stuff like that. Put your hand up if you've never written any code at all. All right, okay. No worries, it'll be fairly straightforward. So I'm going to create a C# script, because that's what 99.9% of the Unity community uses. Jump straight into C# script. It's not that scary. So making this script, I now have to give it a name. And this script is going to have a behavior. So what I'm going to do with the script is I'm going to tell my spaceship to do some rules when I do some particular code, or when I tell it to do something. The game is portable. Yeah, I could build this to tons of platforms now. No. So what it does is it basically takes the C# and it compiles it into native code for that platform. So if you're building to Windows 8 or Windows Phone, it'll compile it into Visual Studio, depending if you've picked C++ or C#. So it just compiles it to whichever platform that you want. So I could take this game and port it to 26 different platforms right now if I had 26 devices with platforms and stuff like that. So yeah, the choice of script doesn't matter too much. I think C# runs slightly fast, compiles slightly faster than the others. But basically what the C# script is doing is it's tapping into the API. So it's allowing us to then tell our ship to move with force and physics and do some groovy stuff. And when you build it on the other end, it kind of like bundles it all up and then it compiles into that. Yeah, yeah. Cool. So with this bit here, I'm going to call this spaceship control. Importing scripts, cool. Sweet, so I now have a script called spaceship control. So with spaceship control, I'm going to move my spaceship left and right using physics. So what I want to do is when I push left, it's going to move the ship left. When I push right, it's going to move the ship right. Now, if I want my ship to have physics, I have to give it physics. I know that sounds quite bizarre and strange, but currently my ship is very boring. It just has a position within my scene, and it also has a thing to say to the camera, render this. So if you look at it, it's just an image sitting at the bottom. So I want this to now have physics. So how you can do that in Unity is you can add components. So what you can see inside the object here is we have position, rotation, scale. That's a component of transform. Sprite renderer, that's a component as well. These are kind of like descriptions of the particular object. So if I click add component here, this will give me a drop-down list. We'll basically say, what type of component do we want to add? Do you want to add a trail renderer? So we could have some little like trails behind the spaceship, like sort of like floating behind it. Do you want to add a lens flare if you want to make a J.J. Abrams Star Wars style hyper lens flare game, which I might do at the end if we have some time because it looks hilarious. Do we want to add, okay, what else? Audio. Do you want to make a reverb zone so we have our spaceship actually echo sound off of it? So that's useful for caves and things like that. We don't want to do that. Rendering, do I want to put a skybox on my spaceship? Do I want to add some text onto my spaceship so it's got a little name above it, like a little speech bubble? Do I want to add a light onto my spaceship? Basically, I'm choosing what property I want to add to it. So for example, if I was a component, it would be like position on the stage, rotation facing you guys, scale, I don't know, like 6 foot or so, probably less than that. I'm shrinking with old age. Basically, then I'd have, for example, sprite render to say, you know, what I look like and stuff like that. And then I have a like add component of like Unity t-shirt and stuff. Basically, I've added on components and that's how it works. It's just a description of your object. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into here. I've got two types of physics I can add to my spaceship. It can either be physics or 2D physics. So I'm going to say overkill again. Basically, what our 2D devs didn't want to do is just add 3D physics onto 2D objects. So that doesn't make any logical sense. It will just be way too much. You think of a game like Angry Birds, every single 2D sprite with a 3D physics system on it all colliding with each other. That's a right nightmare. So what they decided to do is they decided to just casually implement native box 2D into Unity. So for 3D physics, you have physics by NVIDIA. With 2D, you have box 2D. So basically, there's two physics systems within Unity, and it's using which one depending on which one you select here. That might sound very sort of intensive if you build to like a low-end device that's both 2D and 3D physics. What it kind of does is it kind of uses which one you're using. So if you make a game with only 2D physics, it'll only include 2D physics in the end build. If you make a game with only 3D, it'll only include 3D. Make a game with both, it'll include both. It's kind of like a pay-as-you-go type system with the physics. I'm just going to use 2D physics. So in accessing 2D physics, I now have some colliders, some types of joints like springs and hinges and things like that, and I have a thing called a rigid body. So those of you who are Unity geniuses, who can tell the crowd what a rigid body is? Go on. I had one word. It just gives it like the properties of a rigid body. So if I took this bottle and dropped it, that's got a velocity, a mass. It has a force applied to it. It will collide with the floor. Basically, a rigid body is saying to this object, you're no longer stationary. You now have physics. You can now tumble. You can now bounce off of things. You can now sort of be pushed around with physics and force and things like that. It's just basically saying, this phone, if I threw it, which I'm not going to because Microsoft will shoot me, basically it's saying this now has physics. This can be thrown and be moved by force. So I'm going to say to my spaceship, add a rigid body. You'll notice that my component list has increased and there's more descriptions about my rigid body. And I can now set things such as mass. I can set things as drag. I can set what its gravity scale is. I can set all sorts of types of things. So now when I run my game, my spaceship, goodbye. So basically what my spaceship's doing now is it's now being applied by force. And I can position it at the top. And when it runs, it's saying, this now has a rigid body. This now has a force. I want you to now tumble and basically increase with gravity. I can play around with these different settings. So I could say to my rigid body, your mass is now, for example, I'll leave it 1. I can set its linear drag to be 0.5. That means it's going to have some form of drag against it. So as it falls, isn't going to drop so quick. Okay, it's a little bit slower. Let's go something a bit more extreme, 10. So it'll either sit very still because the mass is trying to fight against the drag now. And it slowly builds up momentum. Oh, it's really depressing. Goodbye. Okay, let's set the linear drag to be 0. So the next thing here is gravity scale. So if I've bought this game and I think, oh, right, okay, this has got wicked ratings. I paid 99p. I bought this game. I'm going to blow up some asteroids. Right, let's begin the game. Okay, Lou, wait, what? Where'd it go? Yeah, if I did that, I then instantly start rating, say, worst game ever, 0 stars, don't buy this game. It's ask for a refund and things like that. This will never get ported to Xbox One and Kinect. It won't ever have Kinect functionality and stuff. That's because the gravity scale is set to 1. So we want our objects to basically have a force, but we want to push it by code and say, we'll push this left and right, for example, as opposed to moving it statically. So a little trick here is playing around with the force. So currently, it drops at that particular speed. If I increase the gravity scale to 3, for example, it's going to increase the gravity by 3 times. So now, goodbye, it's going to disappear. If I change the gravity scale from 1 down to 0.5, it's now going to drop at half the speed of gravity, at half the speed that it originally was. So it's a bit slower. And the little trick here is to set this to 0. So now this has 0 gravity. So it's now going to move around like it's in space. So if I then fired an object, it will basically tumble like it's in space. That way I can have the spaceship sitting there. It doesn't drop off the screen, and I can actually push it via force, via script. So I can say, apply a booster going left or apply a booster going right. So yeah, gravity scale to 0. So now our object will have some form of force on it, but it's not being moved. So just as a quick demo, I can then take my spaceship. Where is it? I'm going to duplicate it. Okay, command D doesn't work. Okay, so let's say this spaceship has gravity and that one doesn't. So I'm using exactly the same sprite sort of build up. One has gravity and the other one doesn't. They pass through each other because I haven't added some colliders yet, but basically it allows you to just tweak around with the physics. Right, I've got 5 minutes left. I don't have enough time to write some script. Okay, let's do something really fun. Let's do some collider stuff. So I'll do some script sort of like after lunch. So obviously with my spaceship, so if I leave it like that, I want it to basically be able to collide with other objects with physics. So for example, the bottle has a mesh around it to say, when I put it here, it sits like that. It doesn't have like a round mesh, so it just instantly tumbles off the table. It's a good job that lid was on. Basically, I want to say this object here has something that collides with other objects. So with Unity, what we can do is we can select our spaceship. I can go down, I can add a component, go to Physics 2D, and here I can choose 4 different types of collider. And I'm going to show you the circle and the box, and I'll show the spaceship sitting here, another spaceship falling and just knocking it out of the way. Later on, I'll show you the other colliders when I have some asteroids and stuff. So if I set a circle collider, we have a nice round ball. So this will be useful for wheels, round things, meatballs, tube pasta, pizza, lasagna. No. Like, yeah, no, that wouldn't work. Maybe, I don't know. Someone's going to correct me at lunch. We'll go out and there will be round pasta on there, round lasagna. So this will be useful if I wanted to use a round-based object. I can hold shift as well, and I can kind of like scale the size. Hang on. So basically I can make my round sort of area a bit bigger or smaller, and I can kind of play around with whatever size it is. What you'll notice on the right-hand side here is, as well as having a transform, a color, a rigid body to sit as physics, and a collider, we can actually do various things here. We can set its radius. We can set up all sorts of properties here. So basically, with Unity, you can go and you can sculpt how your object is. You can basically change its mass and change its physics. So the round collider is actually, I'm going to leave it as that. I'm pretty happy with that so far. So I'm going to take this object and position it there. I'm going to duplicate it. So I now have a second spaceship, but I don't want that one to have a round collider. This one instead is going to have a box collider. So I'm going to remove the round collider. I'm going to add a component, and I'm going to add a box collider. So this is quite difficult to see, and the box collider is useful for like planks, platforms, walls, crates, boxes, lasagna, because you can have square lasagna. I got there eventually, right? Yeah, the jokes don't get any better. So basically what I can do is, holding shift, I can actually sort of change this and sort of sculpt the size of this box collider. So I could actually build up my whole collider for my spaceship, like so. Like that. I could then add an extra box collider and kind of like resize that to be that size of that other gun. Basically now I have the same spaceship, one with a circle and one with a box. So this one here, which has zero gravity, is just going to sit there and waiting for something to hit it. So let's say this spaceship has a gravity of 1, and let's position it sort of above it, and let's see what happens. I actually don't know what will happen, so this will be interesting. Goodbye. Yeah. So basically what's happening now is that one with zero gravity is just sitting there saying, yeah, I'm not doing anything, I'm acting. The other one's going to plummet and say, aha, you are now... Pow. So what we can also do is, I could say to this collider, have some bounciness. So I could say when it hits it, I mean currently what it's doing is it's hitting it and it's just tumbling like normal. It's just going yeah, not very good game. But what I can do is I can say this collider is bouncy. So when it hits it, the other one's going to bounce off and go flying off and sort of spin, which is going to be pretty cool. So I can go into my assets folder. I can create a brand new folder and call it physics materials. And here I'm going to create some bounciness. So I'm going to go create a physics 2D material. And here I'm going to call it bouncy. And with these properties here, I can then basically determine how this platform activates. So if I had like a slippery ice platform and my character stands on it, I could set his friction to be 0. So basically he will just scoot straight away off of it. So let's set the friction of this to be 0 and the bounciness to be 1. Okay, so it goes from 0 to 1 basically. Then when I select my blaster here, when I go down to my collider, so how it interacts with another object, I can take my bounciness, apply it to my collider. So now, when I go through my spaceship that's currently sitting there in space, it's going to have a transform. It looks like this ship. It has a rigid body 2D, and it has a circle collider. When the other one falls and hits it, it's going to bounce off of it because I'm basically told it to be bouncy. So now, it falls. So I could be really mean and say, set the mass of my spaceship that's stationary to be 100. So it's now going to sit there. It has some physical properties. When it comes down, this one's just going to spin a sort of bicycle off. So now when I run this, it moves a little bit. That's simply because it's like one mass versus 100. So I could be even more mean. And I could also write a script which duplicated that top ship, so every time I hit spacebar, it just fired millions of ships down, bouncing. That's what I'm going to do later on with rockets. I'm going to fire billions of rockets just by clicking a button. Yeah, so basically using Unity, you can sort of like build up all these different physics materials and sort of construct all sorts of things. I could then, you know, go in here. Okay, let's duplicate. So I've now got tons of spaceships on one point. Yeah. So basically using that, you can kind of like play around with the sculpture. That's a bit of a tangent from like our end game, but it's now exactly lunch. And yes. And I've been making lots of pasta, pizza, and lasagna jokes, so. Pizza, okay, yeah, cool. So like the wrap, so yeah, I could add a collider to the pizza like that, I guess, yeah. So I think lunch is like an hour. So if you come back, we'll then write some code, make some rockets explode, which I keep promising you guys, but they eventually will. Yeah, cool, thank you.